Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 21st year now bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this day, for the radio station. Most of all, for you, the listener. For those of you who are tuning in today for the very first time, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We thank you. And we hope you also continue to tune in each and every Sunday. Today we're going to be talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is it and how does it pertain to you? How does it affect you as a believer or an unbeliever? What does it mean? And we're going to look at it in Mark chapter 3 and start in verse 20. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit today. First, I want to give you just a brief update what's going on over in Kenya. We're in our school project. We're building a school, a primary school for 200 to 300 students, and it's going to be three separate buildings in a U shape with a courtyard in the middle. And so we want to get you involved in that project. Come alongside us and help us to build this school. It's going to be not only for the educational purposes, but also it will be an evangelism tool, because we're going to talk about Jesus and we're going to sing songs about Jesus. And so these children are going to learn about Jesus as they learn their ABCs. And so this is going to be a very important project. Sits right next to the children's home in a strategic location. And so we invite you to participate. If you want to have more details, want to have questions answered, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can get you more details, show you architectural drawings. We're actually working on it as we speak. We're in the construction phase, and so we want to get you involved. Come alongside this great project. Well, today we're going to be talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that all of you have heard about this and know maybe something about it. And it's a very curious topic, and a lot of people have a lot of different ideas and opinions on what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. How does it affect us? What constitutes blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And so Jesus lays it all out here in Mark chapter 3. And this is the most comprehensive explanation of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with salvation. Ultimately, it has to do with salvation, your confession of faith. And if you've not ever confessed Jesus as your Lord, you need to do that. And I'll explain during this message why blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is important to you if you're an unbeliever. And so it pertains to you as well, even if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord. So in your Bible, take it up there in Mark chapter 3, and I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we'll get into the explanation of the verses. It says, "The multitude came together, so they could not so much as eat bread, but when his own people heard this, they went out to lay hold of Jesus." Well, Jesus had been in the villages, just to give you a preview. He'd been in the village, and he had been healing many, casting demons out. The start of this chapter, he healed a man who had a withered hand. And so the Pharisees, who were the religious elite, the religious strict elite of that day, they were very antagonized. They were very much opposed to Jesus. And so it says that the Pharisees, his own people, heard of this, and they went out to lay hold of Jesus, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And verse 22, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons.'" Well, Beelzebub was a name that they had given to the Lord of the Flies. And there was something mysterious about when a dog or some animal died, and then it over time decomposed, the maggots came in, ate the animal, the bacteria came in, and eventually the animal disappeared, laying on the road or wherever it was deceased. And so the people of that day gave a name to that Lord who was causing this thing to disappear. They called it the Lord of the Flies, or Beelzebub. And so that's what they were calling Jesus. They were saying that he has Beelzebub. By the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. In other words, they were accusing Jesus of using the ruler of the demons to cast the demons out of people. And so Jesus, in verse 23, he called them to himself, and he said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Verse 24, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Verse 26, "And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end." Well, this is a deep principle in spiritual warfare. And if you've never seen this kind of spiritual warfare, you're not going to understand what Jesus said. And if you have never understood spiritual warfare in a real deep sense, a spiritual sense, what causes people's behavior, what causes people to act the way that they do, what causes people to rise up in anger and kill somebody, what causes people to commit adultery or to steal, even if they've got a good job, maybe embezzle money from the company they're working for. All of human behavior, or maybe not all of it, but most of human behavior, especially of things that we consider to be morally repugnant or morally unacceptable, this is caused by demons. And if you want to look at scriptural background for this, check out Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it said, and then it says that we have to stand up against the evil one, against the wiles of the evil one. And then Ephesians 6:12, it goes on to say, "Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so that's the Apostle Paul giving instruction to the Ephesians, and he says our battle isn't what you see with your eyes when you see a person, when you see somebody misbehaving or somebody rising up in anger and killing somebody or shooting somebody. Our battle is against the demons and the spiritual forces of darkness behind them. And so the same is true for a principality, a nation, a state, a local government, maybe a community, maybe a village. There are principalities in the spirit realm over that area. There's principalities over Kenya. There's principalities over the United States of America that control and direct the spiritual atmosphere and the spiritual direction of that country or of that principality. And so this is the principles of spiritual warfare that Jesus is talking about. And when you bring it down to a personal human level, yourself, your wife, your husband, your children, your boss, when you bring it down to a personal level, Jesus says that he did not cast out demons by anything of the kingdom of the devil. And when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense what the Pharisees were accusing him of. And besides saying he's crazy and that he's using the power of the prince of the demons, or Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons, it doesn't make any sense, because the devil is not going to cast himself out. The devil is not going to come against himself. The devil is always trying to accumulate more of the devil's kingdom. He's trying to put pieces together of the devil's kingdom. That's why if you have someone, for instance, who is the president of the United States who doesn't know the Lord Jesus and doesn't honor God in his life, and he brings people around him who are full of perversion and full of lies and full of all kinds of misconceptions about how the world is put together, then you see things like what we saw in the 4 years of the first part of this decade, where the borders were open and all kinds of murders and rapists and all kinds of perverted people were coming flooding in to this nation. 15 million, some people say, they were coming in. It was because the agreement by the powers in place in this country, the agreement allowed these demonic entities to flood into this country. And so the devil does not cast himself out. When Jesus speaks to a person, read through this, through the gospel accounts, when Jesus engages people who are full of demons, Mark chapter 5 is a good one. The story of the man in the Gadarenes, in the tombs, living amongst the tombs in the Gadarenes, Jesus casts all the demons, 2,000 of them, out of this man, and the demons run into a herd of pigs, and the pigs go dashing into the ocean, and the pigs drowned. Well, the demons didn't drown, but the pigs certainly did. And so the farmers of that area who owned the pigs, they came out and they were protesting against Jesus, and they wanted Jesus out of their territory. They wanted to get rid of him because he was causing them economic harm. That's the way Jesus operated. He didn't operate by cooperating with the kingdom of the devil, and he doesn't operate by cooperating with the kingdom of the devil in your life. Beloved, if you are having problems with demons in your life, and you may not even know anything about it, you may not recognize it, maybe today is the first time you've ever heard anything about this. If you are having problems with the devil in your life, and you can't get rid of pornography, and you can't get rid of smoking pot, and you can't get rid of snorting cocaine or some other kind of illegal drug, or maybe you're committing adultery, or maybe you're stealing from your boss at work and you can't stop it, beloved, you're not going to stop any of that. You're not going to get rid of any of that until you start speaking against the devil and speaking against the demon in your life. If you think you're going to cooperate with the devil and get rid of the devil, it's not going to happen. You cannot cooperate with the devil. You cannot hold hands with the devil and at the same time get rid of the devil in your life. You have to get a power, and it has to be, in my mind, it has to be the power of the kingdom of God. It has to be the power of Jesus Christ in your life, not just any power. It has to be the power of God. If you want the cleansing to last, if you want the cleansing to endure, you have to get the power of God, something that's more powerful than the devil. Greater is he that is in you than that little devil that is in the world. You have to get that greater power in you, and you cooperate with that greater power, then you can move out that little power, you can move out that weaker power, and you get the house cleansed in that way. And so what the Pharisees and the scribes were accusing Jesus of was cooperating with the devil to try to move the devil out of a person's house. And Jesus said, no, that isn't the way it works. It's never going to work that way. It didn't work that way in Jesus' day. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's the reason he came. He didn't come to hold hands with the devil or cooperate with the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And so that's the reason Jesus went to the cross. He shed his perfect, precious blood. He made an open show of the devil. He made a fool of the devil, because the devil thought, well, if I can just kill this man and get the situation, the circumstances arranged in such a way that we can kill this man, The devil thought he had a great victory there, and he would never have to deal with Jesus Christ ever again. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days later proved beyond a shadow of a doubt to the devil and to you and me that Jesus, he had power over the devil. He still has power over the devil, and his blood is the blood that sets us free from the power of the devil. Well, let's go on then here in verse 27. Jesus speaks now about his mastery of cleansing the demons out of people's house. He says here, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Well, the strong man is the gatekeeper of the demonic entities in a person's house. And I know for some of you, this is new teaching. You probably don't understand it, but if you have demons that have come into your house, there's a gatekeeper that keeps the door open for other demons to come in, and there's a gatekeeper, that same gatekeeper, that is opposed to allowing the kingdom of God to come in, the word of God to come in, and that gatekeeper will give that person thoughts and direct his behavior, and eventually you'll have a person who is schizophrenic or bipolar, or a person who lashes out in anger and hatred, maybe even picks up a gun and goes shoots his co-workers at a place of work. And so that's the way the devil works, and he has control over that person's behavior, puts thoughts in his mind, gets that person to cooperate with the demonic kingdom. And Jesus said the only way that you can cleanse this person's house, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man. There has to be a power to come in and bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. He will take the demons out. He will clean up the house and put the house in order. Verse 28, assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whoever blasphemes they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Let me repeat that again. This is the words of Jesus Christ. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Well, why did Jesus bring in the subject here of the Holy Spirit after all this talk about demons in the house and the Satan divided against himself? Why did Jesus bring all of this into this discussion and brings up the Holy Spirit? The reason is because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Paraclete, the Counselor, has been given to the world. Jesus said when he left in John chapter 14, he said, I'm leaving you. He was talking to the disciples. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. He will be your guide. He will be your counselor. He will tell you the truth in all things. And then he goes on to say in John chapter 16, verse 8, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will reprove the world, or in other words, he will convince or convict or refute the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they, the unbelievers in the world, believe not in me. What is he saying there? He's convincing, the Holy Spirit is convincing people of sin. And so the Holy Spirit comes and goes in a person's life. Maybe you're an unbeliever out there today and you don't understand the spirit world. You don't understand what causes you to sin. The Holy Spirit has been given to this world, has been left in this world to convince people of their sin. And so Jesus said that the Holy Spirit convinces people of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Well, why of sin? Because unbelief in God is the foundation of all sin. Unbelief in God is the foundation of all sin. When you understand that you are a creation of God, that God made you, He made you in His image, He made you a man to live on the earth and bring glory to Him, that your life would bring glory to Him. When you understand that, and also understand that you have a sin nature. You have a sin nature. Being born in this fallen world, we all have a sin nature. We're born with it. We can't get rid of it except by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. That is, God is faithful, or Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you have to recognize that we live in a fallen world and that our sin nature causes us to sin because of first Adam that was in the Garden of Eden. He sinned because he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he fell and he sinned, and then he was cast out of the garden with Eve, and he was not allowed to go back into that garden again. And we live now in the same place as Adam and Eve when they were cast out of that garden. The foundation of all sin is unbelief in God. And you may ask, well, what about people that have never heard the gospel message? What about people that haven't heard about the Bible, haven't heard about Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that the invisible attributes of God are made known to people through His creation. People can know about God just living in the world, just seeing the wonderful creation of God, the things that God made. The invisible attributes of God are made known to men back in the villages in Africa, back in the jungles of the Amazon. They can know about God without ever having been preached to. And then it says in John 16:8, of righteousness, Jesus says, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Man's righteousness is useless without the blood of Jesus. Man's righteousness, we are as filthy rags when we are compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus left after His work was finished on the cross. He went to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. First He went to hell, and He released the captives in hell. And then He took them with Him to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. But we all, every one of us, have that sin nature. But because of the Holy Spirit convicting us that our righteousness has no value, our righteousness is as filthy rags in comparison to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our righteousness counts for nothing. We can only have the righteousness of God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became sin on our behalf. He went to the cross on our behalf, and He shed His precious blood on our behalf, that we could come to know the righteousness of God, that we can stand in the presence of God, and we can be looked upon by God as the righteousness and with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then the third thing is of judgment, Jesus said, because the prince or the power of this world, the prince of the power of the air, he has been judged. He was judged at the cross. He was judged guilty. And because of that, his time is drawing near. Because of that, he knows his time is drawing near. He's not bound. Some of the angels, the fallen angels from heaven, are bound, but the devil is not bound. The demons are not bound, and so they can create havoc in individuals' lives. They can create mayhem and murder in individuals' lives. They can also create mayhem and havoc and chaos in whole countries. Look at Iran. Look what's happening in Iran. You cannot negotiate with these people. One day they say something, the next day it's completely opposite of what they just agreed to the day before. You cannot negotiate with these people because their God is the father of lies. Their God is the murderer from the beginning. And so that's the reality of trying to deal with these people. If they ever get a nuclear weapon, I guarantee you the next day they will try to use it. The next day when it's operational, they will try to launch it against Israel. And so that is just the nature of powers and principalities that are given over to the devil and the kingdom world. And so we've all sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is this, beloved, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus when we confess. And so Jesus brought in the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're speaking against the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. You're lying against the Holy Spirit because you're denying his power in your life. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin. You say, I have no sin. I don't need Jesus. I don't need salvation. You're lying against the Holy Spirit. And if you continue to do that until the day you die, you will be condemned. You will spend eternity in hell, and you will not know the blessing of walking with Jesus. You will not know the freedom of walking with Jesus in your life. And so that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You're lying and speaking against the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life. Well, this is a deep subject. We may take some more up on it next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. And we hope you come alongside this ministry, help us keep these radio broadcasts coming, and also at the same time help with the projects there in Africa. We want you to be blessed. The kingdom will be blessed, and you will be blessed if you come alongside this ministry. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Go to PayPal, use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. You can check us out on Facebook, see lots of pictures of the ministry there on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Jim Rao. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.